Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Vision Night 2019. It's great to see you all here this evening, especially after two Sundays of incredibly bad weather in a row. And, you know, it's kind of funny, somebody made an appointment not too long ago, asked to come in and see me, and one of the questions was, Jeff, is the band coming back? Well, what do you think, huh? yeah. And think about this. Don't you just love carrying dinners at G&G? Somebody made a comment to me the other day. They said, have you ever noticed that whenever G&G people get together, it always seems to involve food? And while that may not always be good for the waistline, I do believe it drives at the bottom line. Don't anybody make it. It's Mike Boone here. Don't make jokes about bottom line. Okay, anyway. That's called a verbal faux pas, friends. But think about it. If this thing is working right, G&G should be like a family. And for many of us, I mean, that's when our family got together. Mom and Dad went off to work in the morning. The kids went off to school. But at the end of the day, everybody kind of got together around the dinner table or grabbed a bite to eat at a restaurant. But it was that togetherness aspect of it. Doing life together, and food was kind of a part of that. And even after the kids grow up, when you think about it, I mean, in most families, they still get together for Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner. And they're together, and they're enjoying each other with good food. And how about a big thank you to Joyce Rammel and her crew for the taking care of this evening. Awesome job. Also, please be sure, whether or not you have kids, to say thanks to our children's workers. They do just an outstanding job for us week in and week out, and they're providing a great environment for your kids tonight. Now, on your way into the auditorium, you should have received one of the Vision Night booklets, and it should have a post-it note on the front. If it doesn't, would you just raise your right hand? It might have fallen off, and Cheryl will come around and make sure that you get one of those. Also, you should have received an outline, and that's one of those things that we felt like was a necessity because some of you would assume you're at the wrong church if there was no fill in the blanks this evening, okay? And so what I want you to understand is the Vision Night booklet, if you've never been to one of these before, we will not cover it in its entirety. It's full of important information about our organizational structure, our congregational survey, and our ministry philosophy. But I'll just hit some of the highlights as we go through this evening. But I do want to say this. If at any time you have a question, please don't hesitate to ask. I love to answer questions. I love that when people give me feedback because then I know what people are thinking. And I'm excited that this year we had a total of 407 surveys filled out, and that's the most we've ever received. And the cool thing about that is that's almost about 60% of our average Sunday attendance. I mean, if you take out the children, and I believe our survey, because of that, gives us at least a fairly accurate representation of where we're at on a number of critical issues. Also, in an effort to make the surveys somewhat more user-friendly this year, we reduced the amount of questions, we revamped them, and shortened it, and we kind of targeted them to some specific information. So for those of you that have been to these in the past and you think, wow, this looks a lot different, the booklet looks very different, that's part of the reason for that. Now, if you filled out one of the Vision Night questionnaires and you ask a specific question, I'll do my best to answer them and address them this evening, but if I don't address your question, I will get back to you this week, okay, by email or a letter, however you chose to have me respond. Some of them I've already done that with because I knew we just wouldn't be able to get to that information. But as I said before, if you do have any questions, please, you can talk to me after the service tonight, you can schedule an appointment in the church office, or you can email me at jeff@goodnewsgathering.org, okay? Please don't hesitate to do that. Now, if this is your first time at a Vision Night, you need to understand that tonight what you're going to get is kind of an in-depth, behind-the-scenes look at what's happening here at Good News, okay? And I just have to tell you, Vision Night is one of my favorite nights of the year. It's kind of a high priority on my calendar, because Vision Night tends to attract a high percentage of our leaders and high capacity volunteers. Okay? You are the people for whom this church is a high priority in your life. You are the people that form the backbone of GNG. And you make what happens here happen on a week in and a week out basis. And you're the people who support this church with your time and your talent and your treasure. And I just want you to know that for Cheryl and me, it's an honor and a privilege to serve alongside you and to do life with you guys. Some of you seated in this room have served with me for over 30 years. Some of you 20 years or more, and some 10 or 5 or less. And we understand that ministries of any length experience their shares of ups and downs. That's just life. That's ministry. But over the years, we've hung together. We've grown closer. We've depended on each other. And we've advanced Christ's kingdom together. And I couldn't be prouder of you guys. It's been an exciting ride, and I don't know about you, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't. Now, for those of you that are new to Vision Night, we will discuss things here that we don't normally discuss on Sunday mornings. Okay? What we'll cover tonight is what we call here at Good News Gathering family business. Because what you have to understand is that Sunday mornings, they're focused on attracting seekers and building up believers. And so Sunday morning, we concentrate on worshiping together as a church family and transforming lives through the power of God's word. So we rarely address family business on Sunday mornings. That's what Vision Night is for. And that's why I'm so thankful that all of you came out this evening. Now, because Vision Night typically attracts the committed core of this church family, I assume that I can speak freely, okay? We don't have to beat around the bush. We don't have to sugarcoat things. We don't have to ignore the elephants in the room. We can speak the truth, hopefully with the appropriate amount of grace. As you know, our theme word for 2019 is the word follow. And our focus verse on the very first Sunday of this year came out of 1 Peter 2:21. It's up here on the screens. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. Christ is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Now think about what that's saying, because this is really kind of framing our entire year's worth of Sunday morning lessons, is Christ is our example. I mean, this is what we are striving to become like, and we must follow in his steps. Now, if you look on the outline that you received on your way into the auditorium this evening, there at the top of the outline is a box. And for those of you that were able to make it on the first Sunday of the year, you've seen this box. Because this box really contains what we're using as our working definition of the word follow this year. And it goes like this. To follow is to take after or to conform to. In other words, to conform myself to something or someone else. And when we think of it in our terms, what we are thinking of when we talk about the word conform is Christ remaking us in his image. Not us making him in our image or making him out to be who we want him to be, but him conforming us to his image. To imitate, to follow, implies acceptance of another as my authority. In other words, he makes the rules. He says what's right and wrong. He decides how I should live my life. And it also means willing submission. And that word willing is so important, because what that means is that I agree, not grudgingly, but because it's the wisest decision I could ever make, is to submit to my Creator and follow His Son. And as I thought about this Vision Night 2019, that focus verse just kind of kept rolling around in my head. Christ is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He is our example, our motto, and our model, and we're to follow in his steps and do as he did. And it occurred to me, as I was thinking about this, that there are four things that Christ and his followers did that we should follow. Steps that they took that we should conform to. So let's pray, and then we're going to get down to work. And we're going to learn about these four things that Christ and his early followers did and see if we can incorporate them into our own lives as we think about G&G moving into the future. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for nights like this. Nights when our church family gets together to worship you. Nights when our church family gets together and gathers around tables with good food and has fellowship together and interacts. And Father, some of those relationships are years and years, and some are decades, and those relationships go deep. And it's a beautiful thing, Father, because it makes our lives what they are. And Father, it's hard for me to imagine doing life without the people here. It's been such a blessing to be a part of this. Father, I thank you for every person who has stepped up over time into some leadership role, because I know what that takes. And I know the difficulty and the hardship sometimes that comes with that. And yet they've willingly done that. Father, I thank you so much for every person who volunteers in whatever ministry it might be, because, Father, without them, this would never work. People wouldn't be reached for you. And so, Father, it's with a heart full of gratitude tonight. And I think about these people and the ministry that they do for you, and just how proud I am of them all. And Father, as we think about where we've been and where we're going, help us, Father, first, foremost, and always to follow you. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. May we be a following church. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, the Bible tells us that at some point in the third year of Jesus' ministry, he began heading for the Passover feast in Jerusalem. Now, this was a critical choice that he was making, and it says it this way in Luke 9:51. It says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely..." Let's just circle that word on your outline if you would. It says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You have to understand that Jesus knew why his Father sent him into the world. He had this appointment with a cross, and he knew it. And he committed to the purpose God had set for him. I love the old King James version that I grew up on, because it says that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. In other words, nobody was getting in the way. Nobody was redirecting him. Nobody was going to divert him off the path. He was heading for Jerusalem and the Passover feast when he would become the Lamb of God. His followers tried hard to dissuade him from going to Jerusalem, and they were well aware of the danger, and they knew about the death threats, but Jesus stayed true to his purpose, and he headed south. And if he is our example, friends, we have to do the same as individuals and as a church family. And the very first thing we have to do is followers commit to the purpose. Followers commit to the purpose. Now, I think about last year, we celebrated our 20th anniversary. And last fall, as we began planning our lesson series for this year and thinking about our theme word, we kept getting different words. In fact, we actually started, believe it or not, we actually started in... And actually, one with one word, we had almost 6 months lesson series planned. But for some reason, it just didn't seem to fit. It was like, ugh. And as I recall, we ended up going through four words that really kind of made the final cut. But the longer we worked on it, the more we were driven back to the purpose Christ called us to when he started this church 20 years ago. It's a simple but profound purpose, and it's there on your outline. And it describes why we exist. And we exist to develop seekers, people who are seeking spiritual truth, into fully functioning followers of Christ. And really, that's where our theme word came from. It was like, we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back to why Christ called this church into existence. And we need to start there again. And for months, the leadership team's been grappling with this question, how do we get better at producing and developing fully functioning followers? How do we become a following church? How do we do that? Well, obviously, we have to think through what a fully functioning follower is. And most of you are aware of this because you've seen this G diagram all around G&G. And what you're going to see this year is over the course of this year in our Sunday morning lessons, we are going to work our way around that G diagram. And we're going to talk about what it means to get what it means, the good news, and to understand our ministry philosophy. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how we grow more like Christ and some of the spiritual disciplines that will help us with that. We're going to talk about what it means to give ourselves in service to others and to go and share the good news. And friends, that's a tall order. I understand that. But you know, one of the things that drives me I got a survey back. And obviously, you all know these are anonymous. But one of the surveys came back, and I just happened to glance at it, and I ended up looking at the back of it first. I started looking at it, and I thought, well, what in the world? Because this person said, I don't invite guests. During the past year, how many times have you shared your faith with an unchurched friend or family member? I did not share my faith with anyone. Which of the following reasons most frequently keeps you from serving? And they marked unsure. Which statement best describes your current volunteer service at Good News Gathering? I have not volunteered at G&G. Have you attended class 101? No. 201? No. 301? No. 401? No. How many years have you attended Good News Gathering? 15. And I'm thinking to myself, what planet are you living on? Seriously? I mean, friends, that will break a pastor's heart. Because somewhere along the line, in 15 years of teaching, something hasn't penetrated. And it's things like that that make me think, you know what? We've got to get better at developing people. I don't know if there's something in the way we're teaching. I think that all of us that teach here on Sunday morning give it our best shot, but for some reason, it is not getting through. And believe me, I understand, folks, and you don't need to try to make me feel better, friends. I understand that we're not going to reach everybody. And I understand that there are some people that come here for the show. I get that. But that really makes me wonder because, you know, I think the leadership team kind of expects me to do one of two things with people. And that is either to teach them to the point that they will step up and begin to serve and begin to grow and begin to do all those kinds of things, or else to irritate them enough that they will go someplace else. okay? I mean, at some point, and like I said earlier, we're going to just call spades tonight, friends. At some point, Christianity has to become serious to you. Or why do you spend 75 minutes on Sunday morning here? Okay? Now, if you think about it, friends, if you look on page 8 of your booklet, you can see the percentage of respondents who have attended the various classes in the class series. And you have to understand, if you're new to Good News and maybe you haven't gotten into the class series, you have to understand that this is where we explain in detail our purpose. That's how we explain in detail our ministry philosophy, why we do church the way we do. Why in the world would we all of a sudden kind of do a complete change in our service on Sunday morning like we've done in the last month? Why would we do something like that? Why would we do some of the things that we do that maybe if you come from another church background, you're thinking, boy, we never did this at my old church. And well, why? And the truth of the matter is, unless you go through the class series, you never quite get what we're about. And that's why class 101 coming up next week is so important, friends. If you haven't been through it, I strongly encourage you to do that. Now, one of the things that made me very happy there at the bottom of page 8, it says, what activities are you involved in that help you follow Jesus better? And you'll notice down there that it talks about the daily Bible reading plan. 156 people said they're involved in a daily Bible reading program. And you got other people who are involved in ministry. And it's really what activities are you involved in that help you follow Jesus? And the reason that Bible reading thing makes such an impression on me, friends, is because studies show that if you want to grow as a Christ follower, immersing yourself in His Word is a critical, critical thing. That's why we've placed so much emphasis on it over the past 3 years. If you look on page 9, you see there it talks about short and long-term groups that's the bottom of page 8. On page 9, it talks about volunteering here at Good News Gathering, and our percentage is very strong there. We're pleased with that. Friends, not only must we commit ourselves to our purpose, but about midway through His ministry, Jesus sent out 72 to spread the good news about Him. And He empowered them to heal and to cast out demons, and they did. And when they returned, it's almost like the party was on, okay? Because the Bible tells us this. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in Your name. And He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. At that time, Jesus, and then it says it again, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And friends, I think if there's another thing that Christ and His followers did and that we should also do, is followers celebrate victories. Followers celebrate victories. And that's one of the things I want to do here tonight, because if you read the rest of that passage, Jesus launches into this prayer of praise and joy, and they celebrated together the victories that had been won. And friends, here at Good News, we have a lot to celebrate. If you'll turn to page 5 in your booklet, you'll notice that 10-year attendance chart at the top. And what you can see there is that we have been steadily growing for the past 10 years. Some years more and some years less, and this year our growth was not tremendous, but we ended up with slightly higher than we had the year before. But here's what I think is really fun. The very first Sunday of this year, before the bad weather hit and torqued us all, okay? The very first Sunday of this year, we had 760 people in attendance. This morning, we had 719, okay? for the middle of January, that is awesome. If you look on page 7, that top chart, that pie chart, if you look at that closely, you'll see that 11% of our attendees have not made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Friends, that means people are coming here to check out the good news. That's what we want. Now, I mean, personally, I wish that percentage was maybe a little higher, maybe closer to 15 to 20%. But hopefully we'll get there this next year. But our people are inviting and people are coming because they feel comfortable and they feel like they can come here and at least check out Christianity. I think it's fascinating there. It indicates in that second pie chart that 19% have attended less than a year or consider themselves visitors still. That's awesome, guys. Interestingly enough, you might want to write this in because this isn't actually in the booklet. In 2017, we had 274 first-time guests. That was in 2017. In 2018, we had 321 first-time guests. Well, friends, we've set a BHAG for this year that will knock your socks off, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. But one of the things I want to do, because I think we have a lot to celebrate here, is I want to review our BHAGs for last year. And for those of you that are new to Good News, BHAG just stands for Big Hairy Audacious Goal, okay? And one of the things that we had in mind, I mean, we believed we've needed this for a long time, is something we call a getting started group. In other words, a group that is specifically designed for people who are new to the faith or people who haven't crossed the line of faith yet and have questions. And it's kind of a forum that does provide some teaching element, but also is more of an open environment where they can ask the questions that they have. And friends, I'm excited to tell you that group is going to begin on February the 10th, and my wife and I are going to be leading that group in our home. And I'm really excited about seeing what comes out of this. Now, let me skip down because we kind of covered the daily Bible reading plan. But if you look down under critical success factor number 3, everyone giving. One of the things that we wanted to get done last year was a revamp of Prep 1, and we did, and we presented that 3 times. And we trained a total of 88 leaders and volunteers last year. Now, many of you know that we, in the leadership team, we tend to long-range plan. And one of the things that we wanted to do this past year was really try to get some ideas about what a third service would look like if our attendance pushes us to that at any point in the future. And I want you to understand that the leadership team has been contacting other churches. We've been gathering as much advice as we can from other churches that are similarly located demographically to us about what kind of a third service would work. And friends, we've talked to churches that have done third services on Thursday night, Sunday night, Saturday night, and also jamming them in all on Sunday morning. So we're getting as much advice and input as we possibly can, in hopes that someday numbers would drive us to need that. Under critical success factor number 4, last year one of the things that we had was a critical success factor of starting Hillsborough Not As Usual, our outreach to Hillsborough's Ward 3, and we did that. We wanted to do 12 projects. We ended up doing 11, but this is something that's really awesome, friends. Over 150 volunteers, that's distinct volunteers, different people, served in Ward 3 in this past year. That's just awesome. Now, some people have been asking, one of the questions that I've been asked prior to Vision Night was, are we going to continue to do the outreach in Ward 3 this year? And the answer is yes. Somebody asked, well, are you thinking about going to a different ward or anything like that? And our extension teams made the decision not to switch wards, but to stay in Ward 3 because of the amount of time it takes to build trust with people. And for them to know that we're just not passing through, but we're really a part of this community. And so, yes, we will be continuing to do outreaches into that community this year, and you'll be getting a schedule about that in the very near future. And now, Jenny Hildebrand is going to come, and she's going to talk to us about some things that we have to celebrate on the financial front. Jenny?
I've got one on. Special, remember. So I get to talk to you about really exciting stuff. Finances. Those of you who know me well know that that's not a joke. That really is true. What did you do with my notes? There they are. Money makes me want to do a happy dance, especially what has happened with our finances lately. I guess that's why I got chosen to talk about it, right? If you all want to turn to page 6, where it talks about the 1-3-10 financial plan. It is?
Yeah.
Thanks for reaching that one. Okay. Is this better? Okay. All right. When we built the ministry center in 2012, we incurred 3 loans totaling $1.7 million. Our 1-3-10 plan was to pay off the first loan in 1 year, the second loan in 3 years, and the third loan in 10 years. So get this. What it doesn't say on page 6 there, there's 3 loans totaling $1.7 million. What it doesn't show you is that we also did that phase 1 addition. We did not borrow money for that, so we paid cash with the money that you all gave in the capital campaign of $243,000. Add those together. It's up on your screen here. That's $1,943,000 total. Our current debt right now, or as of the end of 2018, is only $762,000. So that means we have paid off $1,181,000. You guys, that is almost $1.2 million in 6 years. You see why I'm doing the happy dance? Yeah. Remember, our goal was $1.7 million in 10 years. We've paid $1.2 million in 6 years. So instead of me doing a happy dance, really, I think we need to applaud an awesome God, because that's exciting stuff. Somebody, pretty smart fellow, once told me, I'm like, Jeff, do you give on pre-tax or post-tax? He's like, so what do you want to be blessed on? And he also told me once, you can't outgive God, Jenny. Found out he's right. I don't know who that smart guy is, but anyway. You guys may wonder why the leadership team is so adamant on aggressive debt reduction. Let me explain that just a little bit. These loans, the million-dollar loan is a 20-year loan. Why do we want to pay it off quickly? We have already saved, in being aggressive with the debt, we have already saved $59,194. If God chooses to continue to bless this church financially the way he has in the past, the potential interest savings, $244,217. That's a lot more money that we can be put to use reaching lost souls for Christ, don't you think? That's why we're serious about being aggressive on debt reduction. Jeff?
Thank you. Now, if you'll look on page 5, and you look down at the bottom, you'll see the financial portion of this. And If you notice in 2018, and I've had people ask me about this because they see the financial update that comes out in the bulletin every second Sunday of the month, and they saw that, wow, at the end of the year, our giving wasn't at 100%. Okay, I want to explain that a little bit to put your minds at ease, okay? In 2018, we based our budget on a projected income of $722,000. You see that figure there, okay? That was our projected budget, okay? That was a very aggressive budget. It was a $72,000 increase over our actual income in 2017, which came in right about $650,000. And some of you may be wondering, why would you project that big of an increase, okay, when you'd never had that kind of an increase before? I want you to understand we knew that was a stretch budget when we did it, okay? And part of the reason we did it is we were anticipating increases in expenses with the addition of two new staff in 2017, the 20th anniversary, which hit in May last year, and a four-day meeting with our ministry consultant, and volume-driven increases in a number of ministry budgets, and our continued effort to aggressively reduce debt, okay? Now, as you can see, actual giving for our ministry development fund, which funds all of our ongoing ministries, came in at $669,000 last year, okay? Now, understand that's almost $20,000 more in ministry development fund giving than we got in 2017, but it still fell short of our budget projection. And I know some people were worried, and they were like, wow, did you guys slash ministry budgets, or did you cut staff or anything like that? And the answer is no, okay? Everybody relax. We had built into that budget a significant amount for debt reduction, okay? So we didn't cut any ministry's budget. We didn't lay off any staff or cut anybody's pay or anything like that. We simply paid less on the debt last year than we had hoped. Okay. Now, it's important for you to remember that in addition to the actual giving of $669,000, an additional $72,999, and you can see that down below, was given to our mission partner in Haiti. Friends, that's amazing. This church is extremely, extremely generous. Now, we didn't pay as much on debt as we had hoped, but we gave generously, and we maintained our cash reserves over $100,000. I want to explain that because sometimes people feel like, oh, churches shouldn't have cash reserves. Experts advise churches to keep at least 3 months of operating expenses in reserve in case of some kind of catastrophic emergency, like a tornado blowing a building down or something like that. So they really advise you to always keep at least 3 months of operating cash set aside. Now, as you can see, we based our budget in 2019 on a projected income of $675,000, which is a much more conservative projection. And we've asked all of our ministry departments, except NextGen, to reduce if possible. And they've responded well, and they're doing an amazing job of producing high-quality ministry on very lean budgets. Now, let me talk to you for just a second about Tithing Church. 7 years ago, the leadership team made a decision that G&G would be a tithing church. In other words, 10% of what we receive in our ministry development fund would go out to people in need or to other ministries that are outreach-oriented, like Roots and County Fair, Festival of the Bells, Canines for Christ, and to our ministry partners like Southern Ohio Pregnancy Center and Thrive Point Counseling. So if you're wondering down below there where it says the church tithe and it doesn't look like it adds up to 10% of $675,000, the reason is because some of that money is already involved in other ministries within the church, okay? Now, I do want you to know this. In 2018, our tithe came in at almost 11%, all right? So we're very pleased with that. Now, let's talk about the building expansion, because some of you have asked, so when are you guys going to build phase two? For those of you that are new, okay, when we originally built the building, all you had was basically what you see here, okay, all the way over to the kids area and the auditorium and the atrium, all this. We added on that extra space over on the south side of the building in 2017. That's when it was finished. We have planned to build on an addition on the end of the kids area so that we can expand our children's and youth programming. Okay? Now, people are asking, so when is this going to happen? When are you actually going to build phase two? Here's the thing, guys. Phase one alleviated the space pressure in our children's area because we were able to move the junior high kids out of that side of the building into that new space. And this bought us time to plan and to think about how to design phase two for the best possible use and maximum impact. And our attitude was it's more important that we get it right than we do it now. Okay? We also had to develop a design that could be built without disrupting our current children's programming. That was important. We couldn't all of a sudden lose that space and the use of that space because we were having construction over there. So we couldn't create a situation like that. And it was important for the leadership team to seek God's guidance on the question of timing. When should we build phase two? Now, I want you to understand that we did finish a preliminary design last year. Okay? Kind of looks like this. And you can see that on the other side of the atrium, we are actually going to be doubling the space of our children's area. But we believe that God is currently saying, not yet. Not yet. With the space pressure relief we've gotten from phase one, we now believe we can grow to probably about 900 people before phase two becomes a necessary next step. Okay? Now, that raises another question I've had people ask. What are we doing with the money that people have given toward the campaign to build phase two? You see it there on page 5. Okay, if you look down toward the bottom, it says restricted money market phase 2. $79,248. Okay? This is the money that we have received in addition to the $243,000 that funded phase 1. Now, we will continue to set that money aside until phase 2 becomes necessary. So, how are we actually doing on that capital campaign? Well, many of you know, we started the capital campaign in November of 2016. We paid cash for that particular extension, phase one, in 2017. It was a 3-year capital campaign that will come to an end in November of 2019, later this year. How are we doing? Well, we received a total pledges of about $525,000. What we've received to date is $332,700. The cost of phase one, if you take that out, that's $243,155. And so the percentage that we've actually received to date is about 63% of the amount pledged. Okay? Now some of you may be thinking, 63%, that's all? Friends, that's something to celebrate. Most church capital campaigns rarely receive anywhere above 65 to 70% of the money pledged. And that's when they're going with capital campaign groups. So we're doing very well with 10 months to go on the campaign. And I know some people are wondering, well, you know what? I wasn't a part of Good News Gathering when you did this campaign, and I would like to help. Well, if you want to do that, that's fine. If you give by check on the memo line, just write Next Gen, and that money will go toward building phase two. Okay? All right. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is a little bit more difficult. And it goes like this. Followers persevere through challenges. They persevere through challenges. Now, if you remember, after Jesus left the earth, the apostles were intent upon spreading the good news. And it got them a lot of trouble with the Jewish leadership. And the leading body in Jerusalem was known as the Sanhedrin. And they said, the Bible tells us in Acts 5 that they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Now, think about this. This is what they did to Jesus before they put him on the cross. They flogged him. And they flogged the apostles. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, and get this reaction. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is amazing. Here these guys get arrested. They get brought in front of this group of bodies that actually could recommend to the Romans that they be executed. They flog them and then tell them, don't speak about Jesus anymore. And they go out rejoicing and never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. These guys knew how to persevere through challenges. And friends, if we're going to follow Christ, so must we. As I said earlier, on Vision Night, we don't have to sugarcoat things or ignore the elephants in the room. So let's just be honest. 2018 was a challenging year. Yes, our attendance did go up slightly. But anybody who's been a part of this family for over a year knows some people left. That's reality. Some left due to differences over our core values and how we implement those. And if you have a question about those or you're not sure what those are, you haven't been through 101, you can find those on page 11. Some left due to disagreements over our statement of faith. Okay? I want you to know that this is always a gut-wrenching and saddening experience for us all. But I want you to be assured that your leadership team is committed to the purpose Christ called this church to when he founded it in 1998. We are committed to the core values that have guided how we operated over the last two decades. Our statement of faith has not and will not change. And we will not compromise or apologize for believing that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. You have my word on that. At the same time, these challenges that we faced were a platform for reexamination and self-evaluation. And the leadership team has been determined to learn as much as possible from 2018. And that's why the leadership team has gone back to our purpose statement and has been asking the question, how do we do a better job of developing people into fully functioning followers of Christ? How do we do that? And that's part of the reason why we settled on that focus word, follow. It's to really focus our attention on that issue, developing people. I do want to say this, friends. I know there are a lot of rumors and there are a lot of stories out there. And I want to encourage anybody that has any question to please come and talk to me. My door is always open. I've talked to many people. And I'll tell you what, it has, it has been hard for me to accept how many people who have attended Good News Gathering for years could walk away without ever asking me why we made the decisions we made. Friends, if you want to know, all you have to do is come and talk to me. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us this. It tells us that when Jesus left the world, left the earth, he said this to his followers. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And I can't imagine what these guys were thinking. I mean, this changes everything. All of a sudden, Jesus is not going to be here anymore. I mean, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he's been on the earth for 40 days. And I wonder if they thought to themselves, you know what, this is change. Things are changing. Because he's going back and we have to take up the load of the ministry. We have to buy into the purpose. We have to make this happen. And friends, I think the fourth thing we have to understand is that followers embrace change. Followers embrace change. Because we know that ministry doesn't just stay the same. We have to be willing to try new things and do different things and reach out in different ways in order to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so we got some changes coming that we want to bring you up to speed on. And first, I want to introduce you to Adam Geringer, our next generation director. And he's going to come up and talk about some changes that are happening in the kids' ministry. Adam, come on up, bud.
Here you go. Thank you. All right. I've never met a lot of you. I don't know a lot of you as well. And so I wanted to introduce myself. My name's Adam Geringer, and my beautiful wife is back there, Courtney, if you could give a little wave. If everybody turns and waves, she doesn't like when I do that. We have two little boys, Theodore, who's 3, and Whitaker, who's 1. If we haven't met you yet, I know, again, we've met a lot of you, but if we haven't, feel free to grab us. We would love to meet you after this and have a conversation. But wanted to talk about some changes that are coming. Some of you have heard about it, but we are switching our check-in system as well as our check-in process. We're going to be actually releasing a video this week on Facebook. Bear with us. It's not going to win any Oscars, but it will hopefully get the idea across, give you a little bit of a tutorial of that check-in system and the check-in process. The system for you parents and grandparents is going to be very similar. It's going to be the last 4 digits of your phone number. It'll bring up your family. You check the kids. You check them in. It prints off tickets. So that part of it's going to feel very similar. The big difference where it's going to come is actually in the process. The process is going to be that now, instead of walking into the G-Kids lobby, handing off your child to a volunteer and them taking them back to the room, you yourself can take them back to the room. We're doing this for multiple reasons. The biggest and primary reason is that we believe that this should be a family ministry, not just simply a kids ministry. We want to get to know you. We want to be able to spend time with you. We want you to get to know the teachers, the helpers, so you can develop relationships with them, so that the two of you can work together to introduce Christ into your child's life and help to develop them into fully functioning followers of Christ as well. It's hard enough. I'm a dad myself, and it is hard enough raising my kids on my own. But when I have a family of believers around me, it makes it that much easier. And we want to be able to be that for you. That gives us opportunity. The second reason is I'm actually a firm believer. This actually helps protect your kids more. We do have, you know, security throughout the church, but we also, this gives our volunteers an opportunity to get to know who you are and who your kids are. We have 80, 85 volunteers who serve with us regularly. That's 80, 85 sets of eyes who know that your kids should be with you. When we're out in the parking lot, when we're in the atrium, that's just to help to make sure that, oh, so-and-so, Theodore, my son's running through the church. Let's make sure Adam knows where he's at, you know, that type of thing. So it's to help you out there as well. But we have a lot of big things coming. We ask that you bear with us because it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. We're going to have to kind of process and evaluate everything as we do it. And so there might be little kinks in the armor that we got to fix throughout the time. But this will hopefully make the process a lot smoother for you, a lot easier for you and hopefully help you in developing relationships with our teachers, as well as see the classrooms that you're taking them to so that you get comfortable with that. If you have any questions, feel free to grab me afterwards. I'll be in the back of the atrium. Also, there's one way that you can help us out. One thing we have found in one of those kinks in the armor is that the grades for almost every child is wrong, and we need to get through the system, and we need to correct that. A lot of you have already done it this morning and at the parent meeting last week. If you haven't had an opportunity to come back and check your child's information, please come back to the back of the atrium and that little desk that is new to the atrium. Grab one of us. There'll be three or four of us back there, and we'll check your information, make sure that we get it updated, so that way you have no issues once we do start that check-in process. Okay? All right, thank you all.
If you would, turn to the very last page of the back of your, page 14. If you turn there, you see the 2019 BHAGs, our Big, Hairy, Audacious Goals for the coming year. Right. Now, these goals are goals that we are going to work toward throughout the year. Some of them are going to create change here. Some of these are going to stretch us. But these are things that we believe that we need to do to really become a following church. And one of the very first things that we're going to talk about today is something called the 4G talk. And you see there that very first one, which is get, or in other words, understand. And grasp the good news. And so this 4G talk is something that we're developing at this time. And our hope is that we will have 250 people go through that this year. And JD is going to come and talk to us about that at this time. JD?
All right, guys. One of the things that we discussed as we were coming into the fall and getting toward the end of the year was that we wanted to ensure that each and every person at our church had the opportunity to grow in their faith in real and recognizable ways, that they would be implementing the different spiritual disciplines, that they would be walking through each of those elements of the G, the get, the grow, the give, the go, and understanding more what it means to be a fully functioning follower of Christ and have definitive steps they can take in the process. And one of the things that we began to discuss was how can we help people who are coming to GNG both know how they can and should grow, as well as what is something that we can do that will give them some recognizable steps, allow them the opportunity to maybe set some goals. And so we began kicking around something that really feels, hopefully, very much like a spiritual health checkup or an evaluation, self-evaluation of some kind. One of the things that we've thought is, how can we best position each and every person at GNG who is interested and willing to understand where they might be strong in those categories and where they might be weak. And so what we've developed is a form that we're calling the 4G talk. And it's an opportunity for ministry leaders to work with their volunteers, or directors to work with their ministry leaders, or staff to work amongst one another, to offer people the opportunity to take some steps forward in their faith. And so this 4G talk will be something that we offer to you guys at some various points in the year. Many of you who are involved in ministries, your ministry leader will probably at some point kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I'd like to sit down with you and do one of these 4G talks. And it's a form where you basically fill out a self-evaluation for where you are in the process with each one of the get, grow, give, and go categories, and allow you the opportunity to perhaps set some spiritual health goals for yourself in this coming year. It's a form that is intended to be handled on an individual basis, probably someone, like I said, a ministry leader, or one of the things that we're planning to offer at some various points this year is the opportunity for people to an afternoon after church, several of the ministry leaders or staff just kind of sticking around and saying, hey, if you're interested in getting a spiritual health checkup, you can just kind of come and talk to one of us and we'll walk through this form with you. It's an opportunity for each of us to kind of identify for ourselves, where am I as far as get and grow and give and go, and then be able to set some goals for ourselves. This is, again, this is a self-evaluation. The information is just for you. It's something that you do on yourself. The person sitting down with you and talking with it through, talking over it with you, is not somebody that's going to be judging you. For instance, just to give you an example to kind of ground this home. In the ministry, the band, I'm going to be initiating this with all of the members of the band. It's a simple, like, two-page form, and I'm going to sit down with each and every member of the band over the course of this year, and we're just going to walk through it, because I love these guys, and they know that I love them, and I'm not here to bother them or judge them. I just want to give them an opportunity to grow. And so we're going to sit down, we're going to have an individual conversation, and we're going to assess, hey, where are you on each of these categories, and offer them the opportunity to identify where they are and where they can grow. So it's something that we're offering this year in the hopes that as many people here as possible will take it. It's a way of not only evaluating where you are spiritually, but it's also a way for you to kind of kickstart your growth. Because as we all know, when we go to a doctor for a checkup, we get a clear picture of where we are. If the scale feels a little too heavy, or if there's a problem with a test or something like that, they give us a clear roadmap for how we can grow. And that's what this 4G talk is designed to do, is to give you a clear picture of where your spiritual health is as far as the get, grow, give, and go, and then offer you a roadmap whereby you can set some goals for growth spiritually in this coming year.
All right, the second aspect of that, the BHAGs for 2019, we've got the GET, which is the 4G talk, the GROW. And over this year, what we're going to be doing, and we've kind of already started the process, is we are looking at different discipleship models that have been successful in other churches, models which help people grow as followers of Jesus Christ. And over this year, and we're hoping to have this done by somewhere in the August-September range, is we will choose a model that we believe will work best here at Good News Gathering. The third one is give. And this is one of those areas where I think is we've seen some issues in the past here at Good News that we need to address. And that's the issue of volunteers being overworked and burning out, especially in our children's area. And so one of the things we really want to try and get done this year is to have everyone committing to a specific ministry and serving at least one service two times a month. And what this does is it frees up our volunteers. It allows them to serve and yet not serve both services on a Sunday. So they can come, they can serve one service, and they can be in here. One of the things that we've seen over time, and with this hit us last year, is we had people who were serving both services for extended periods of time, and they were never in the auditorium. And what we found is that people psychologically disconnect, and it's much easier for them to leave or to get burned out and decide, I don't want to do this anymore. What we don't want is people coming here and feeling like I'm going to another job. Okay? And so that's why we're really trying to work this year to get to a point where people are serving at least one service two times a month. And then finally, and this is a real stretch goal, guys, but our go goal for this year is to have 684 first-time guests. Now, I know you guys are going, wait a minute, you're doubling the number of first-time guests you had last year, and the answer is yes. Why? Because 684 was our total average attendance last year. In other words, each one, just bring one. And I know some of us are going to have to bring two because some of that 684 small children, I get that, okay? But I bet there are some kids in this church that 'll bring three or four. We can do this. 684 first-time guests this year. Friends, those are our BHAGs for 2019, and I don't know about you, but I am excited about where we are and where we're headed. Now, as I said earlier, our theme word for this year is follow. And if you look at that question, on the back of your outline. It says there, what will I do to help G&G's lamp burn brightly? What will you do? Now, on the front of your booklet, you have a post-it note. And what we're going to do is we're going to go into communion. And what I want you to do before you come up to take communion is I want you to spend some time in prayer over that question. What will I do to help G&G's lamp burn brightly? If you've been able to be here on Sunday mornings, you know that these lamps represent different churches. These seven lamps on the stage represent the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. This lamp here represents Good News Gathering. And remember what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus. He said, if the church does not do what I call it to do, I will remove its lampstand. In other words, its light will go out. We understand what Jesus said in Matthew 5 when he said, you are the light of the world. That's us, folks. That's this church. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, here's what I want you to do with that post-it note. I want you to think about that question. And if you feel comfortable, you don't have to put your name on that post-it note. What I would like you to do when you come up to take communion, I'd like you to write on that post-it note what it is that you feel God's calling you to do to help G&G's lamp burn brightly. And bring that post-it note, and when you take communion, just put it on the table down here. And after you take communion, you're going to come back by me or Cheryl, and obviously you will get a hug, as always. But you're also going to get a white stone. Many of you remember that in the letter that we read this morning, Jesus promised those who overcome, to the one who is victorious, I will give that person a white stone. The symbolism of that white stone, as best we know, is that white stone was a way that a person who was victorious in the games, in athletic competitions, was given a white stone so that after the competition was over, they had that stone to show, and they were allowed into the banquet feast for all the victors. And I think what Jesus was telling that church is, you know what, when you overcome, when you're victorious, when you hang in there and you follow, you get a white stone. And one day you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you'll be at that banquet feast of the Lamb. So friends, I'm going to pray. And then I want you to just take a moment and think about what God is calling you to do to help G&G's lamp burn brightly. And then come on up and take communion. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this evening and for this time that you have given us as a church family to be together, to celebrate together, to learn together and grow together and in fellowship over food together and just be a family. Father, we're thankful that you have allowed us to be a part of this family. And we're thankful that you have entrusted us with the light of the world. Father, help our lamp always to burn brightly for you. We are so thankful for your Son and for the love that he had for us. Help us to follow him wherever he leads. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. And we all agreed together and said, Amen.